Alright, y'all keep praying for me this morning. Some sermons are fun. Some are not. And before the day is over, you probably have the impression that I'm picking on you in particular. I'm not. Because almost everything I'm going to say is going to apply to me too. But part of the job as the preacher is to lay out the standard. Not because I've achieved it perfectly, because this is what it is. And so, if I had a funny title for my message, most of this won't be funny. Being a Christian is a team sport. Okay. So we're going to have a PE class this morning. PE. P stands for preparation. E, execution. Being a Christian is a team sport. If I had a focus, it would be on the word commitment. Commitment. And I'm going to use an extended metaphor today. I may torture it a little bit. It may not work just exactly, but it felt like it was a useful tool to me. The areas where it's weak, overlook it. Take the gist from it. Let's start from a premise. What's the great commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your body, all your strength, your soul. That's another word for your whole life, your very breath. Anything excluded in that? No, it's everything, right? And so if you are to love the Lord with everything that you got, do you think you ought to love the things that He loves? Yeah. What did He love so much that He sent His Son to die for?
Us.
Yeah, specifically it's called the church. Okay? So it says in Ephesians that Jesus came to die for His bride, the church. He loved Him so much He gave Himself for it to clean it so there'd be no spot or blemish. Right? So if you're loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and body, do you think you ought to love His church as well? Yeah, that's just not a hard, you know, sometimes in math you get the this plus this plus this plus this, and you're way down the road before you figure out where, this is pretty simple. If we love the Lord, then we love the things He loves. And He made it abundantly clear that He loves His church. Okay? All right. How much do you individually love the church? Is being a Christian and attending church and being a part of the church part of your core identity? Or is it just something that you may do? A fringe, right? When you write out your resume, what goes at the top? The thing that consumes most of your time. And then at the bottom, you got the and others, right? And I also have some skills in Excel or PowerPoint or whatever. Just kind of lower on the totem pole. Sometimes in our life, the way we live it, is there are other things that represent the top of that resume, and church is just kind of an, oh yeah, and I also attend here, or am a member here, right? So here's your extended metaphor. I want you to consider a Division I athlete. It can be Georgia. It can be Alabama if you must. I want you to think about the commitment that that young man, we'll say football just because I know a smidge about that, what kind of commitment does that individual have to his team? And we're going to think about the week of an individual. Young man, right? Not wise and old in years, but a young person who's made a commitment so that day in and day out, he is committed to that team. All right, from everything about what he eats, to how much he sleeps, to his academics, to his extracurriculars, to his team activities, practice activities, and ultimately it comes down to game day. All right? All of those things revolve about how he is going to perform on game day. Right? Everything is in relation to that. So we're gonna torture this metaphor a little bit. The way they eat, their diets, their rest, everything is so that they can be the best athlete that they can be, right? Their academics, and let's be honest, are academics the primary concern of a Division I college athlete? No, it's secondary. They have to do it in order to stay there. You have to do it pretty well in order to stay there, but it's not first. Your extracurriculars, your frisbee games, your clubs, right? Where do those rank? A distant third, right? And then individually, you have activities that you have to engage in that no one's really giving you oversight. You've got to study your playbook. You've got to do conditioning and strength training, things that are about you, where you're at and where do you develop. And then you've got different team activities, whether they're meeting with the coaches and you're running film or whether you're running practices, right? There's different events that are revolving around the team. And then there's the ultimate game day, okay? Those are the kind of different avenues I want us to think through today. We're going to look at it in terms of a Division I athlete, and it's kind of easy to see because they make their decisions based on that team they're part of, right? Day in and day out, these young men and ladies in other sports, right, demonstrate self-control, self-discipline, diligence. They extend a lot of effort. Their work ethic is very impressive. It's challenging day in and day out. And most of the challenges appear when there is no camera crew. There's no glory associated with it. It's the day-to-day grind of accomplishing all the things that they need to do in order to be ready for game day. All right, so in our PE, preparation, execution, all right, preparation is going to be that whole week, and execution is how do you perform on game day. All right, their schedule revolves around that sport. All right, so you're a Division I athlete, you're a linebacker. Linebackers have to be big, okay? What do they need to eat? Just anything to make them big? I've watched some, you know, football movies, and somebody coach tells a young kid, well, you need to be 100 pounds bigger, and he comes back the next year, and he's 150 pounds bigger, but he'd been eating, you know, Reese's Puffs and whatnot, and it's just fat, right? He said, well, I wanted you bigger, but I needed the right kind of bigger. I needed you bigger and stronger, right, and faster, right? What they eat, what they put into their body matters, right? There's a specific wholesome food and content that they have to put in so that they can perform well, right? If they just eat a bunch of junk food, or they drink a bunch of alcohol, or they engage in drug usage, I mean, all the things that happen on college campuses, if they go that route, I mean, there's pizza galore, and there's all sorts of just garbage they can put in, what will their performance be come game day? Sorry, right, that's the simple premise. Garbage in, garbage out, all right? How does it equate to you as a Christian? Well, in the simplest thing, it's true for your physical body too. You have been given a body, a natural body, for a purpose. Is it for your own pleasure? No, it's to serve the Lord. And so you need to take care of it. Not worship it, not make it an idol in your life, right? The end of itself is not for it to be perfect, but rather it is a tool to be used in His service, right? So you just... natural nutrition, right? I'm not going to harp on that. That's kind of obvious, right? If your body is a temple and you are designed to serve Him, take care of it, right? Same way I don't leave my tools out in the yard overnight, right, guys? Right? Because it's not good for them. They won't last as long. We make good decisions about our body. Okay, well, how about this? Rather than just feeding the natural body, that's kind of obvious. Y'all understand that. How about feeding the mind? Garbage in, garbage out. What kind of content are we putting in? Are we absorbing with our eyes, with our ears? Right? We have a lot of opportunities for content. Phones, TVs, computers, tablets, books, magazines, newspapers, you name it, you have a lot of opportunity for absorbing information. You are feeding your mind. Now, are you choosing wholesome, godly, encouraging content? Or are you choosing worldly, empty garbage, right? All the things of this world, right? And there's a bunch of it. How much of it actually glorifies God? How much of it teaches you good things, encourages you in the good things, right? It's Philippians. It tells us some things to think on, those that are pure, just, lovely, anything with virtue. Y'all go read that exact list. If you got all those things, think on these things. And yet so often we're consumed by things that make us angry or scared or upset or looking at things we ought not to be looking at, lusting after with our eyes, right? If we're consuming news all the time, at the end of the day, when you turn that off, if you finally do, how do you feel? You feel better? You feel encouraged? No, right? You feel fearful, right? Because the people who are designing those shows want you to be fearful, so you'll keep watching, right? A lot of people put half-naked women in shows, so men will keep watching, right? The things that you are consuming are designed for you to consume more, okay? Be mindful of what are you feeding? Garbage in, garbage out. If you want to come on Sunday morning prepared and ready to worship, what have you been feeding your mind through your eyes and your ears all week, okay? Commitment for how am I coming ready to worship starts Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, okay? Wholesome content. So nutrition, caring for their bodies, you know, athletes care about what they put in. You as a Christian have to care about what you put in, right? They also have to care about how they rest, right? George players have a habit of staying out too late and driving really, really fast at 3 in the morning. Anything good happen after 9 o'clock? As I get older, it's like anything good happen after 8:30? Right? Staying out to all hours of night, right? One, nothing good is going to happen. But two, you need physical rest, right? Your bodies are designed for rest. Why did the Lord create a day of rest? Because he knew that the creatures he made, men, needed rest. And so if you stay out super late Saturday night, are you going to come ready to worship Sunday morning? No, right? Even when someone's coming and watching your kids, you come in and get home a little bit earlier so they can get home on time so they can be awake at church. And we can be awake at church, right? The idea is thinking about if coming and worshiping your God is the center of your week, if that's the focus, then everything you're doing should lead up to what will help me do that better. Because is his worship worthy of your preparation? Yes. How often do we just kind of slink in here, half dog, I'm not really awake, I've had a bad day, things aren't going well, I've had a fight on the car ride in, like, and you're just kind of in a mess? Well, that's probably a product of how your whole week has gone and the choices that we make. All right? So, nutrition, caring for your body. What are you putting into your body? What are you putting into your mind? And what are you giving time for rest? Physical rest, but also how often do we let our brains just have a bit of quiet, right? If you've always got this noise, because there's a lot of noise around us, when are you going to have time to just meditate? And I'm not talking Eastern mysticism. I'm talking about just sitting and thinking about the things of the Lord. Letting something, you know, Southern expression is chew on it, right? Let it dwell, roll around in your mind a little bit like a marble, right? Think on those things. Can you think on those things and chew on it when the TV's blaring and the phone's dinging and, you know, just all the different things that we keep the noise and the volume up all the time? Have that time of both physical rest but also mental rest, okay? So if you need a verse to illustrate this, you can find this in 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 1 through 7, 1 Peter 4, 1 through 7. For then, as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. Right? And that time, there's another time in our life when we were doing exactly like the world. The will of the Gentiles, where we walked in lasciviousness. That's the pursuit of sexual sin, all right? Lusts, right? Anything that you are desiring that you know that doesn't glorify God, you're just seeking out what makes you feel good. Excess of wine, using drugs, alcohol, anything that's trying to alter your state of mind, you're doing that. That's your carnal self seeking that. That is not glorifying to God. He said this is past tense. Revelings, that's going to partying, right? You can have a good football player who's spending his nights out partying. Is he going to be prepared? Is he going to be ready? No, this is past tense, right? Banqueting over an indulgence in food, right? That guy, 400-pound lineman who's been eating, you know, Twinkies and Ho-Hos. I mean, he's overindulging in food, all right? Banqueting, abominable idolatries, wherein they think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. He says, this should be such a past tense that the friends you used to hang out should be making fun of you now, that you don't do it anymore. Okay? Because now you're seeking the will of God, not the will of your flesh. All right? So, you're student athletes, you care about what you put into your body. You as a Christian care about what you put into your body. And the end result is looking for how am I going to worship the Lord. All right? Well, what else does a student athlete have to consider? They have to consider academics. All right? And I know this is kind of a caricature, and there are those who care very much about scholastic endeavors. I'm not minimizing them. But in general, a football player is in college to play football. And the school's, you know, the class is just something you got to get through in order to keep playing football. All right? So it's secondary. How do you know? Well, if there's a travel game, what's not going to happen on Friday? They're not going to class, right? It's secondary. The football practices, the football schedule, the football tutoring, whatever it is about football, it's going to come before their academics, all right? How's that compare in a Christian's life? This is your job. This is your money-making, the things that you have to do, your weekly responsibilities. Yes, you have to do them. But like academics, they are secondary to the primary, which is worshiping God. Okay? It's something you have to do. There's still responsibilities. It takes a lot of self-discipline. You got to use your time wisely. But you make your decisions about it where God comes first. If something has to bend, it's not God's time. Okay? We're talking about commitment. All right? The commitment for that Division I athlete is that the team comes first. And we as Christians often get this confused. We don't commit enough. We allow other things to come on top of our service to God. All right? Do the academic counselors allow student football players or whatever to overload their courses? No, they don't. Why? Because you can't do everything. Right? And you can't effectively serve God if you are overloading yourself with the cares of this world. All right? Do you need to work? Yes. Need to support yourself? That's good. But needing to work doesn't mean you need to work 80 hours. Right? There is an overloading and overcaring about the things of this world. It's too much. You're getting it out of balance. Right? Keeping things in first. Right? So yes, academics are important. Yes, your secular job is important, but it's still secondary. Okay? Will a sophomore wide receiver be successful on the team if he skips his classes and doesn't turn in assignments? No. Just like that. You got to go to work. You got to show up. You got to do a good job. But you also got to keep it in perspective is that it is a means to an end. You're doing the classes so you can keep playing football. You are working and earning money so you have another opportunity to serve the Lord. You are preparing for one more opportunity to come together with your team, with your church, to serve Him. All right. How about extracurriculars? Right? Been a while since I was in college, but, you know, Ultimate Frisbee was a big thing. Always seems to be. Running around chunking a Frisbee. There's no redeeming value, but it sure is fun. Right? You going to play that if you got class? You going to play that if you got a game? Football game? Practice? Right? It has to stay in perspective. Right? It's a distant third. If you got a little time for it, but do college athletes have a whole lot of time for those extra stuff? Some college students, that's all they do. Classes are secondary because they're on all these clubs and all these different things, and that's just, they spend their whole life chasing the extracurriculars. But the reality is they're a distant third. Okay? Well, what's that for you and me? Hobbies, leisure, vacations, right? If you've got time and can plug it in and it's not costing the most important, okay. But it's not the most important. Sorry, coach, I can't come to the Auburn game today. I've got an Ultimate Frisbee game I've really got to play. Think Coach Smart would lose his mind? What kind of commitment are you showing, young man? Well, I've got a debate team tournament, right? What's your priority? Right? Extracurriculars are just that. Our hobbies, our leisures, our vacations, they can't be the trump. Keep them in perspective. All right, what else does a Division I athlete have to do throughout the week? He has to individually develop himself. Okay, there's not a coach holding his hand the whole time. He's got to go study his playbook. He's got to do strength training. He's got to do conditioning. He has to assess his individual strengths and weaknesses and work to develop the areas that are weak. Does that take some diligence? Does that take some self-motivation and initiative? Well, what if the coach isn't there knocking at the door telling them you need to do this? No. Right? It's on them. It's on the student. How can that show up in our life? Well, if you're reading the playbook, what does that kind of equate to? Read your Bibles, right? Your coach gave you a real good playbook. Study it. Learn it. Yeah. Strength training and conditioning, that means looking at the areas where you've learned something and then go and try and practice it throughout the week. Plan it. So if you've discovered as a time you're studying, you're learning, you know, I'm not really good about talking about the Lord, about sharing the gospel. What can you practice during the week? Sharing the gospel. Well, if you discovered I've got a real bad problem with anger or lack of forgiveness or lack of patience, well, I'll just pray about it. When we say that, often we're saying, Lord, I'm going to pray about it and I expect you to fix me. Right? There are a lot of things in here where we've got the responsibility. How we conduct ourselves. Right? Will it come easily? No. Is weight training easy? No. I've watched them do it. I've never done it myself. I have no desire. But it's not easy. I can see it's difficult, right? When you just walk into the gym, can you immediately start bench pressing 500 pounds? Oh, you got to work up to it. It's only going to happen once, one time. No. Right? The idea is as you are learning throughout the week, you're seeing, here's areas where I have not yet met the mark. Let me go try. Let me go grow. Let me growing in grace, growing in knowledge, growing in love, growing in wisdom, growing, right? Putting forth some effort to grow. Are you doing that because the preacher's standing on your head? No. You're doing that because you know it's important. Because guess what? I can't be that motivator for you day in and day out. It's not my job either. I got to set an example, sure, in my life. I've got to declare the whole counsel of the word, absolutely. But as far as your walk with the Lord, it's really between you and the Lord. And He knows how much effort you're putting in. Okay? So self-motivated. Now, is it okay to ask for help in these? Sure! Right? You think about it when you're going to the weight room and you got a buddy, a spotter, right? It's okay to have someone mentor you in an area. Sometimes you're going to be the mentor. Sometimes you're going to be the mentored, right? Because not all of us, none of us have got it figured out in every area, right? You know, you go back to nutrition. What's something I fail at? I consume too much garbage, right? I'm too much in the politics. It's not on the news, but it's on the internet, right? There are areas where I need to grow too. So I'm not up here saying, I got it all figured out. I don't. But these are areas where each of us can encourage one another. But the primary focus on this is on an individual basis, right? This aspect of it. The things with most of our week is we're on our own, right? But there are times that we come together. Well, let me go before that. Before we go together, go to Proverbs chapter 4. Here's your verse for that on your individual development. Proverbs chapter 4. I want verses 20 through 27. Right. Scripture is written by God, right? Inspired by God, written by God. So I want you to read this and listen to this as if God is speaking directly to you. My son, or if you're a female, my daughter, God speaking to you. Attend to my words. God is telling you to pay attention to whose words? His words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. All right? What does it mean to incline your ear? Right? Literally, it's kind of bend in closer, right? When you're engaged in a conversation, you're leaning in close, and the other person knows you're listening, right? God's telling you, pay attention to what my words are. Listen to what I'm saying, right? Individual development. Think about this is you. This is your week. I want to be leaning in to what God has said, right? Let them not depart from thine eyes. Okay? Well, I read my Bible once last month. Would you say that his words have departed from your eyes? Yeah, I sure would. Does this mean you need to be like the Jews and put a box where you got scripture on your arm? So look, I got the word going on with me. The idea is that you need to be constantly in the Word, all right? And when you're not actively looking at it, it should be so much involved in your mind and in your heart that you are thinking about it and meditating on it, right? It's the preparation for game day, which is you come together formally with your team to worship the God who's worthy of your worship. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, right? Why does he put the midst? That's the middle. Why did he say to keep his words in the middle of your heart? Less likely to drop off, right? Things we put on the edge, well, those kind of get pushed aside. But the thing that's in the middle, it's there to stay. Where should his words be? Right smack down at the middle. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh, right? There are positive benefits of obeying God. You avoid a lot of trouble. Keep thy heart with all diligence. All right, this keeping, that's the idea of you guarding your heart. For out of it are the issues of life. All right, so you're instructed to put something into your heart, right? His words, put them right in the middle, and then put a hedge around them. All right, we always pray about, Lord, put a hedge around me. You put a hedge around your heart so that what stays in the focus and center of your heart, your emotion, your mind, right? We're loving him with his whole mind, whole body, whole heart, right? Everything. It's his word. Keep it with some diligence, with a little bit of diligence, with all diligence, with focus. There's effort, right? For out of it are the issues of life. And you can go read in the New Testament where Jesus talks about all the bad things that can come out of your heart when you're not keeping it, right? And the things that come out of your mouth when they're a reflection of what's going on in your heart, okay? And we're not just talking about dead and trespasses and sins versus alive. All right? I'm talking to born-again Christians who are charged with guarding your heart because the garbage you put in and what you feast on and what you indulge in, that's going to show up in your life. Okay? Doesn't make you not a child of God. It just makes you not as an effective one. All right? You're not shining the light that you've been given. All right? You're like putting ash on the, you know, the globe thing of your lamp. Right? Making it harder to see. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. All right? Froward mouth. Speaking things that you ought not. Perverse lips. Things that are crooked. Right? This is when you are reflecting those things in the world and you're making them your own. Now, the other side of that is putting away other people with froward mouths and perverse lips from you. Right? Being very careful about what company we choose. Right? Because we tend to act like those we hang around. Right? Evil communications corrupt good manners, right? If you're hanging around those who are worldly-minded, guess what? You're going to be acting worldly-minded pretty soon. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thy eyelids look straight before thee. It's interesting. Your eyes are looking ahead, and your eyelids are looking ahead. You ever had anybody kind of give you a side-eye thing? your face is going to have it. You know, you're, I don't know. It's kind of looking out of the side of your eyelids, and you're a little sneaky, right? The idea is that all of you is focusing on the right way, right? Looking at the author and finisher of your faith, the one that you're coming to, right? What if all your preparations in the week leading up towards executing on that game day, coming together and worshiping the great God, what is heaven going to be like? A game day that never ends. A worship experience that never ends, right? Ultimate worship forever. And that's what we come and we try to do here on Sunday mornings. Ponder the path of thy feet. Now, ponder doesn't mean just consider it. The Hebrew there has an idea of rolling it flat. Right? Remember those kids' books talk about making the street? Roll it, roll it, roll it flat. Right? All those big trucks that come through. Right? You're looking at your path and you're preparing it. You're not just running hastily hither and thither. Right? You're pondering the path of your feet. And let all thy ways be established. That means be firmed. Right? You're looking as you're going. Not running over here to the quicksand. Not in the miry clay. Right? But you're looking for that firm path. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Right? The instructions to this individual as God is speaking to them, who is the one performing in the action? Yeah. You are. It's not, Lord, do all this. Lord, you keep my heart. Lord, you keep my feet. Lord, you... Now, be praying the Lord will do that too. I'm going to help you. But the idea is that you have some responsibility for how you direct your day-to-day life. Okay? So, think about that in terms of your individual development. What are you doing? What's your conditioning? What's your strength training? Where's your playbook study going? How are you in your individual training of yourself to learn more about the Lord and learn more about what He expects and as you are... attempting to grow in the areas where you're still weak. All right? So our athlete, in addition to going to class, in addition to eating right, in addition to having, you know, some clubs or whatever they do, very secondary, in addition to making sure he's doing his individual training so he's mentally prepared, there's also times when the team is going to get together, right? Practice, team meeting, in the film room, right? Are those things optional? Hey, Coach Smart, I'm not going to make it to practice today. Right? I just don't feel like it. If your leg ain't cut off, boy, I expect you to be there, right? That's the idea of that not showing up for practice for a Division I athlete, that's a high crime and misdemeanor, right? That's a big deal. All right? What are the practices, if you will, in our context? Gathering together, Bible studies, right? Wednesday nights, that's the time when we are gathering together and we're looking at that playbook together. We're not doing it in a formal worship service, but we are kind of slowly walking through it and trying to raise everybody up on the same idea so we understand. Sunday night devotionals, right? We have very few people attend those, but the idea is we're starting with our kind of our younger individuals, talking to them at their level, but I'm also teaching older folks how to do that. How do you encourage and mentor the younger ones? How do you lead a family devotion? Well, we're trying to model it. Okay, that's a team event. You know, we can talk about team building exercise, you know, singing schools, right? Part of our worship is singing. Can we get better at that? Sure, right? Whether that's practicing, having to sing at your house, or just going to a formal singing school, there are other ways that we can come together and develop as a team. All right. How about just fellowship? Right. Time to get together. Now, we could fellowship and we can do it in a way that's really not glorifying to God and really doesn't encourage anybody because we're just making a worldly conversation the whole time. Or we could have fellowship where we are actually encouraging one another and building each other in things of the Lord, right? Just because you're getting together, right? A team getting together for a pizza party for the, you know, athletes, if nothing football related is discussed, was it really a profitable team experience? Probably not. Right? Hebrews chapter 10. Y'all are familiar with this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Right? Gathering together to encourage one another, to provoke one another unto good works. Right? How many sinners make up a church? What percentage? 100%! Right? Do you and I need encouragement to continue on this path and doing the right things and seeking the Lord? Yeah. Right? Can you encourage others if you're not there? No. Right? And the focus on those is considering others. Right? Well, I don't want to go because I'm not getting anything out of it. Congratulations, you're focused on the wrong person. Right? If being a Christian is a team sport, part of it is considering others. Right? How much does Jesus love your brothers and sisters? Enough to die for them, right? That's a big deal. That's a big, big deal. Right? That's 6 days of students' athletes' life. Right? And then you get to the day. Right? The day is finally here. What is that day focused on? The game! Well, if the game starts at 7, I'm going to start thinking about it about 6:30, right?
No!
The whole day is game day, right? They show up early. They've got the things that they need. They're warming up. They're thinking about it. They're preparing about it. That day is devoted to it. What if somebody decides they're going to get married on that day? Sorry, Bubba, I ain't coming. It's game day. You should know that this is a priority for me and I'm not coming. Right? Well, it's somebody's birthday. It's game day. Family reunion? Game day. Funeral. Why would you schedule that on game day? That's the response. Right? I'm injured. Unless you're hospital injured, where are they at? They're still there. They may not be fully dressed out, but they're there. Right? There are very, 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 very few times that a team player doesn't go, doesn't show up. Right? And when they do, it's a big deal. Right? How is it with Sunday morning service? Right? Sunday morning service, this is our game day. This is our chance to gather together as a team and worship the Lord God. Right? That's the purpose. Alright? It's not to make you feel good. Sorry. That's kind of a cultural expectation. I came to church because I wanted to feel good. Often you leave feeling better. That's good. But the end, the purpose, why are we here, is we are here to worship our great God and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And our week should be spent in preparation for this. Okay? Now, have you ever heard a football player say, "Now, don't give me the ball, because if I run for a touchdown, I'm going to look funny running, and so I'd just rather not." No, I can't sing. I may look funny. Somebody may laugh at me. I can't carry a tune in the bucket. What is one of the primary ways that you are gathered here on Sunday mornings to worship? In song! With the voice that God gave you. He knew the voice He gave you. Now, can you do individual training? Can you learn a little bit more? Learn a little bit? No. Yeah, but you can't change the voice, right? You can tweak it a little about the edges, but He gave you a voice. Worship Him in the voice. Worship Him with gusto and abandon. Right? When on game day, Do they lay everything out on the field? Yes! Do they hold back for fear that the other team's fans won't like me? Or they may say something ugly? Right? You should expect a hostile environment in some respect. Right? Sing. Well, I can't pray. Right? Please don't call on me to pray. Right? Okay, men. This is a team sport. And guess what? There is room on the whole field for everybody. Do we all have the same position? No. But none of you have to be on the sideline sitting down. Okay? There is room for everybody to be participating. Okay? I'm not going to call on sisters to pray out loud during the worship service. I'm not. I'm trying to comply with other verses that guide us there. But does that mean, sisters, that you cannot be praying during the service? Please be praying. Right? You have a flawed mortal up here trying to describe a perfect God. He needs your prayers. Right? He hasn't lived out perfectly the things that he's saying need to be done this week. He needs your prayers. Right? Active engagement, participating. I mean, we should be all on the field together. Right? Right? There's really kind of three different types of players. There may be four. One who's on the field playing, right? And then there's one over on the sideline. You got the coach's headset. And he's just yelling at you. Right? Sometimes that's the role we get into. Where I'm giving encouragement, but I'm not doing anything. Or I'm giving criticism, but I'm not doing anything. Right? We need to examine ourselves. Where am I? Am I on the field? Am I playing? Or am I in the sidelines? You know, the expression of, yeah, we really ought to do such and such. When the we implies someone else ought to do it, but I'm going to give the idea, right? We don't need sideline players. All right? And then you got another sideline player who's just kind of sitting over the bench with the towel over his head. They're physically there, but they're not checked in. They're not participating. They're not engaged. Right? What kind of commitment does that show? Right? I'm just checking the box. Right? And the other one, well, I texted the coach, I watched the game on TV. Y'all did good. That's watching on Facebook. Is there any involvement and participation in the moment that can happen there? No. Right? If you're sick and you can't be here, I understand. It's better than nothing. But the idea is not the same thing. If your only focus is on yourself, then well, maybe it's pretty close. But the idea is that you are here because this is a team. It takes all of us. And our common goal is to work together to praise the Lord in this moment. And this should be what our week is leading up to. Not just something that we do and then our rest of our week can start. Okay? I am here to worship God, and He deserves my best. That's the PE preparation, the 6 days, the E, that's the execution of it. All right? Actually striving to give God everything you've got in this moment, even if it's just coming to pay attention, right? Listening as best you can, actively bending your ear to the Word and trying to internalize it, trying to lay aside all those cares and thoughts and distractions of the world that are there. That you're battling, because guess what? This is a spiritual warfare. I've been using this illustration of a team. There is an opposing team. It's not your fellow church members. Okay? It's a team that you can't see. It's a team whose goal is for you not to worship God. All right? We got principalities and powers and things that we can't see. And they are more than happy for you to be discouraged. For you to be apathetic. For you not to even show up. I mean, hey, what easier way for them to win the game if you don't show? Right? The team didn't even come, right? That's who you're battling against. And the tools that they have are the things that you battle against every day. Anger, lust, distraction, focus on other things, and inward focus on self. Well, I'm not going to play with that team today because they didn't shake my hand when I got to the field. Or, anyway, you get the idea, is that you get inward focused on self and you start being critical of your own teammates and you forget you're on the same team. And your purpose is the same. Well, they don't have the exact same background as me, or they don't know what I'm going through. Or no, they don't. But you still have the same purpose, to worship that God together, right? And the one who wants to ultimately deter you from that is Satan himself and those who work for him. Right? Is he a defeated foe? Yeah, absolutely. But can he make things miserable for you?
Yes.
Can you let him make things miserable for you?
Yes.
Sure. Okay? Go to Psalm 5. Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. You are praying to God, asking Him to consider the things that you've been meditating on. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King, my God, for unto Thee will I pray. What's one of those things you're doing in your individual development? Praying. Can we get better in praying? Yes. Do we get formulaic and say the same kind of rote or memorization of prayer? Yes. Right. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. Right? We're going to start our day with prayer. O Lord, in the morning while I direct my prayer unto Thee, and will look up. Right? Where the answer is going to come from? From Him. For Thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness. Right? If I love the Lord with everything I've got, and I love the things that He loves, will I take pursuit in the things of this world and wickedness? No! I know that He does not have any pleasure in that. Neither shall evil dwell with thee. Right? At the end, will there be any evil in heaven? None. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. It does not say iniquity. It says workers of iniquity. People who try to put God in a box and say, well, God's just love. Love is a huge feature of God. One of His main characteristics. That, yes, that's wonderful, but He also hates iniquity and hates workers of iniquity. Okay? And but for Christ's death and covering us with His righteousness, you and I are all workers of iniquity. But being born again and seeing the truth of your sins and seeing what Christ has done and has called you to a new life and good works to serve Him, you cannot be a worker of iniquity anymore. You recognize that that is wrong and that He hates workers of iniquity. The evil will be separated. The evil ones will be separated from Him. It's not going to be squishy at the last days. There will be a separation of God's children, all the ones that He died for. They will be, you know, they're described as sheep, and all those that He didn't are described as goats. These are described as workers of iniquity. We don't need to look like that. We don't need to act like that. We are clear that that does not please God. The foolish said in his heart, there is no God. The fool shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. Lies. Leasing is lies. Right? The Lord loves truth and He hates lies and He hates liars. Okay? You'll destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. The bloody, the murderer, the ones who are harming other people, the ones who are using subtlety and tricks. You'll destroy them. This is the end result. All right? He said, this is all true. I know that at the end you will take care of all this. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. And in thy fear will I worship towards thy holy temple. Now, when we worship towards this holy temple, we're not talking about pointing towards Jerusalem. That temple's gone. But there is a holy temple in heaven where Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the throne on high. That's where we worship. We come into this house because of the multitude of God's mercies in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ, and in fear of Him, as in reverence and awe and love, we worship Him. That's our bowing ourselves before Him, acknowledging, You are greater. You love things that are good. You love things that are true. You love things that are honest. Those are the things that I want to do because it pleases you. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness. Because of mine enemies, make thy way straight before my face. There are going to be those who are trying to distract me, trying to lead me down the wrong path. He says, Lord, show me your path. Make it clear so that I'm not blown off onto the waylays and the side streets. There's no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let also that love thy name be joyful in thee. What is part of our worship to be looking at? Look like? Rejoicing and joy and shouting. All right? If you have the expectation that church means coming here, don't move, don't say anything. Well, if I say amen, somebody may look at me like I'm crazy. Okay? What happens at game day? People hooping and hollering. And do they look like a silly person sometimes? Yeah. But you know what? When you got 100,000 people around you doing the same thing, it's kind of cool. Imagine that in church. People are that happy of something that's real, that's lasting, that's enduring. Into that football game, guess what?
Game's over.
Got to play again next week. If you win then, okay, you got to play again next week, right? It's, win or lose really doesn't matter, right? Georgia Tech has a better record than Georgia this year. They played first. But who cares? But people will expend such time and energy and passion in something that's so trivial. And yet when it comes to something that's actually meaningful, it's, well, what's the bare minimum that I can get away with? Right? You say, preacher, you're just dancing on my toes this morning. I don't feel good. I don't feel particularly good up here either. Right? Our commitment to the Lord is not as good as a 19-year-old kid who plays football. And that's not an exaggeration. And that's sad. That should be condemning for us. Condemning for me. And for you. As for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. And in thy fear, I will worship towards thy holy temple. All right? You've been given one more day. I don't know if you'll be given another tomorrow. But if you are, use it wisely. Commit in your mind that your life will be used to worship God. And then start taking the steps to make that true. Day in, day out. That involves a lot of choices, a lot of decisions, some big, some small. But there's a consistency and a work ethic and a determination and grit that comes with it. I can't do that for you. But it's worth it. Preparation and execution. Next Sunday, we're going to meet back. Whether the NFL is playing or not, I don't know. But this will be our game day. This service is when we are going to gather to worship. And let's gather prepared as best we can to worship our great God. Thank you. Time. Anybody have a number you'd like to sing in closing?
Little Old Church.
Little Old Church.